This is a course in miracles. It's a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum about what you want to teach. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. Listen, it does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Here's this course. We can sum it up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So it's the mind training of A Course in Miracles, a systematic way to come to know who you are through the release of the defenses of who you thought you were. The miracle is in what's being demonstrated right here and right now. The progress that you have made in this that has led you to your willingness to entertain what I am offering you continues to surprise us. The reason that it surprises us is that the simplicity of the message, that you are whole and perfect as God created you, for example, is very difficult for you because you have complicated it with your self-conceptions. So we've come a long way on this journey, and we're standing right now at the turning point where everything that you intend to do from this moment on is going to show you the entirety of the love that I'm expressing for you, and that the love that you have found within your own self in regard to your certainty that you are as God created you is now beginning to shine out into the world. We're at, in the mind training, we're at lesson 46. And we're going to do it, and this is going to wrap up this first 50 days, isn't it? We're getting thousands of demonstrations now that in the privacy, in the seclusion of your own mind, in your own place, you are beginning to discover an alternative that's available to you. And you've allowed me to come into your home as a teacher, what you term an advanced teacher, and demonstrate to you the complete alternative that's available to you in your mind. Okay? As is our practice, we're going to go back very quickly. Some of you may not have seen this video. We're teaching the mind training of A Course in Miracles. Comes from God out of time, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, showing you the entirety of the inevitability of your perfection as you were created. But to set the stage once more very quickly, we're going to go back and remind you that when you came into this situation with me, you saw only the past. Let's walk. I see only the past. This idea is particularly difficult to believe at first, yet it is the rationale for all of the first six lessons that we practice and is the beginning point to a step out of time. It is the reason why nothing that you see means anything. It's the reason why you have given everything you see all the meaning that it has. It is the reason why you do not understand anything you see. It's the reason why your thoughts do not mean anything and why they are like the things that you see, as meaningless as are you. It's the reason why you're never upset for the reason that you think. That it's the reason why you're upset because you see something that is not there. All because you see only the past. Old ideas about time are very difficult to change because everything you believe is rooted in time and depends on your not learning these new ideas about it. Yet that is precisely why you need new ideas about time. This first time idea is not really so strange at all if you look at it. Look at the cup. Do you see a cup? Or are you merely reviewing your past experience of picking up a cup, being thirsty, drinking from a cup, feeling the rim of a cup against your lips, having breakfast, and so on? Are not your aesthetic reactions to the cup, too, based on past experiences? How else would you know whether or not this kind of cup will break if you drop it? What do you know about this cup except what you learned in the past? You would have no idea what this cup is except for your past learning. Do you then really see it at all? Look about you. This is equally true of whatever you look at. Everything that you see is always over and gone. Each moment in all of time, you exist in the entirety of this space, here and now. Now let's catch up to some very late time. Nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me. I do not understand anything I see. These thoughts do not mean anything. I am never upset for the reason I think. I am upset because I see something that is not there. I see only the past. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it is now. My thoughts do not mean anything. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. A meaningless world engenders fear. God did not create a meaningless world. My thoughts are images that I have made. I have no neutral thoughts. I see no neutral things. I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my seeing. I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. I'm determined to see. I'm determined to see things differently. What I see is a form of vengeance. I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. I do not perceive my own best interests. I do not know what anything is for. My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. Above all else, I want to see. Above all else, I want to see things differently. God is in everything I see. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. I am not the victim of the world I see. I have invented the world I see. There's another way of looking at the world. I could see peace instead of this. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. My holiness envelops everything I see. My holiness blesses the world. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. My holiness is my salvation. I am blessed as a son of God. God goes with me wherever I go. God is my strength. Vision is his gift. God is my source. I cannot see apart from him. God is the light in which I see, and God is the mind with which I think. So are you looking at me now? Can you see that heretofore, you were determined to demonstrate what you thought I was by comparing me, okay, to what you think you are, and you're discovering in the release of the defense of yourself that neither one of us really had anything to do with reality at all. That this old world that we thought was real was over and gone a long time ago, and that we are in fact not separate from God. So the practices have been for you to enter in with me as you're doing right now, and by not attempting to compare what you thought you were with what you think I am, and allowing the world to demonstrate to you our separation that can only result in pain and death, right there, you have been willing to acknowledge that we are sharing an alternative that gives us a new direction for the purpose and the reason why we would appear to occupy this body. I want you to look at it with me, because these lessons now are very important in the conclusion of the progress that you are making in regard to this mind training. Wherever you are, I see that you are beginning to feel in you this new bright light that's all around you. You remember in the last video, the last mind training video that we did, we had you confess that God is the mind with which you are thinking. Look at me. We are actually using together the power of our mind to demonstrate eternal life and love. We know it's working because it's working in you. Are you with me with this? Obviously, if it doesn't work with you, if you remain trapped in your own mind with conclusions about your egotistical self-identity that are literally not true, how can you ever escape the bondage that you are inflicting on yourself in a determination to hold on to yourself? Indeed, God, eternal life, the creative source of all reality, is the mind with which we think. Let's review it really, real quickly. This is the, and then we'll go on to the completion of these lessons. This will be lesson 45. Watch. Now let's take a look at what is the foundation for everything that we have been trying to present to you in regard to the operation of your mind. Key lesson number 45, God is the mind with which I think. Today's idea holds the key to what your real thoughts are. They are nothing that you think you think, just as nothing that you think you see is related to vision in any way. There is no relationship between what is real and what you think is real. Nothing that you think are your real thoughts resemble your real thoughts in any respect. Nothing that you think you see bears any resemblance to what vision will show you. Listen, you think with the mind of God. Therefore, you share your thoughts with Him as He shares His with you. They are the same thoughts because they are thought by the same mind. To share is to make alike or to make one. Nor do the thoughts you think with the mind of God leave your mind, because thoughts do not leave their source. Therefore, your thoughts are in the mind of God as you are. They are in your mind as well where He is. As you are part of His mind, so are your thoughts also part of His mind. Where then are your real thoughts? Today we'll attempt to reach them. We will have to look for them in your mind, because that is where they are. They must still be there because they cannot have left their source. What is thought by the mind of God is eternal, being part of creation. We will attempt to leave the unreal and seek for the real today. We will deny the world in favor of truth. We will not let the thoughts of the world hold us back. We will not let the beliefs of the world tell us that what God would have us do is impossible. Instead, we will try to recognize that only what God would have us do is possible. We'll also try to understand that only what God would have us do is what we want to do. And we will also try to remember that we cannot fail in doing what He would have us do. There is every reason to feel confident that we will succeed today because it is the will of God. My real thoughts are in my mind, and I want to find them. Under all the senseless thoughts and mad ideas with which you have cluttered up your mind are the thoughts that you thought with God in the beginning. They are there in your mind now, completely unchanged. They will always be in your mind exactly as they always were. Everything you have thought since then will change, but the foundation on which it rests is wholly changeless, and you have found that foundation here and now. It is this foundation toward which the exercises for today are directed. Here is your mind joined with the mind of God. Here are your thoughts one with His. For this kind of practice, only one thing is really necessary. Listen, approach it as you would an altar dedicated in heaven to God the Father and to God the Son. For such is the place you are trying to reach. It may be very possible for you now to realize how high you are really trying to go. New understanding that you're gaining now in these mind training videos and with these mind training lessons are reminding you that this is no idle game, but an exercise in holiness and an attempt to reach the kingdom of heaven. At some point, as this light begins to shine on you and you recognize that you are using the power of God, you might want to add, "Thank you, God. Thank you for these lessons that you have given me. Thank you for your Son, my Savior, Jesus, who through His direction has shown me the light that I now feel in recognition of my true self and you as the light of my world." See, the power that's available to you, the power that is your mind. You want to try thank you with me just a minute? Go ahead and say it. Even if you don't necessarily feel it, let's try it together. Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful for the solution that I am discovering in this training that shows me that I am a part of the whole universe and I can escape this enclosure, this self-evident identity that has bound me to the conflict of my determination to separate myself from the kingdom of God. So, the lessons now, up until now, have been I was seeing only the past, and suddenly I'm beginning to see the here and now. I'm going to admit that I'm going to employ the power of the reality of God's mind, because that's in fact what the whole universe is. I cannot escape from the entirety of myself. I want to go to the practice of it for just a moment, if we can now, and we're going to do lessons 46, 47, and perhaps 48, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Lesson 46 is going to say, in speaking of the qualities of God, that God is the love in which I forgive. certainly doesn't seem to you, although many of you are taking on forgiveness now in your own mind, okay, that you could possibly forgive the horrendous things that were being acted against you out in the world. And indeed, you couldn't. The idea that you were being attacked by your own mind, by your own thought about yourself, is obviously not evident to you at the time you feel the rage of the necessity to defend yourself. So your solution of forgiveness cannot be contained in the conflict of your necessity to forgive. You see that God does not forgive, but He has given you through His love the entire capacity to release the resentments and the pain that you felt about yourself, so you can see swelling in you the realization of how easy forgiveness is. And it begins with the practice of forgiving yourself. And in order to forgive yourself, you're going to have to admit that of yourself you can do nothing. All right. So that lesson 48 is going to say, trusting in your own strength is an absurd attempt on your part to deny the strength of God. And you have learned through the releases of these pitiful examples of dark form that the joy and happiness that begins to extend from you depended on your surrendering your efforts to establish or what you call make or what you call invent your own reality and simply admit to your dependence on the strength of God. If you have the strength of God, and if you use the love that we share together, okay, the next lesson will be very simple for you, because it's a simple admission that you have nothing to fear. How could you possibly be fearful if there isn't anything outside yourself? The admission that there is nothing outside yourself leads you to that moment of fear within yourself where the entire denial of eternal life occurred. And you've reached that point in your own mind, okay, and somehow you've been convinced by this Course in Miracles to stand still just for a minute, all right, and the fear will begin to press on in on you perhaps for a moment. You say, no, I'm going to depend on the strength of God. Okay, I'm going to stand here for a moment and let all those attack thoughts that appear to be coming in on me simply be what they are in my certainty that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And for me to attempt to defend myself from these images that I have projected from me in order to retain this little cycle of nothingness that demonstrates time is over and gone. So there's nothing to fear. These are the three lessons that we're going to look at. Now, let's watch. Let's begin then with lesson 46. God is the love in which I forgive. God does not forgive because He's never condemned, and there must be condemnation before forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness is the great need of this world, but that is because it is a world of illusions. Those who forgive are thus releasing themselves from illusions, while those who withhold forgiveness are binding themselves to them. As you condemn only yourself, so do you forgive only yourself. Yet although God does not forgive, His love is nevertheless the basis of forgiveness. Fear condemns and love forgives. Forgiveness thus undoes what fear has produced, returning the mind to the awareness of God. For this reason, forgiveness can truly be called salvation. It is the means by which illusions disappear. Today's exercises will require three full 5-minute practice periods and as many shorter ones as are possible. Begin the longer practice periods by closing your eyes. And as you do, spend a minute or two in searching your mind for those whom you don't intend to forgive. You want to try it? It doesn't matter how much you've not forgiven them. You have forgiven them entirely or not at all. If you're doing the exercise well, you'll have no difficulty in finding a considerable number of people you have not forgiven. It's a safe rule that anyone you do not like is a suitable subject. Why don't you try mentioning by name? Say, God is a love in which I forgive you. Why is it important? Because God is the love in which I forgive myself. Ready? God is the love in which I love myself, and God is the love in which I am blessed. Listen, I cannot be guilty of how I feel about this person because I am a son of God, and I have already been forgiven. And I'm going to forgive him in the certainty that he's just a reflection of my own guilt anyway. And by forgiving him, I can recognize that I've forgiven myself. No fear is possible in a mind beloved by God. There is no need to attack because love has forgiven me. And since I am forgiven, I'm able to forgive my brother. So God is the love in which I forgive. God is also, in lesson 47, the strength in which I trust. If you're trusting in your own strength, you have every reason to be apprehensive, anxious, and fearful. What can you predict or control? What is there in you that can be counted on? What would give you the ability to be aware of all the facets of any problem and to resolve them in such a way that only good can come of it? What is there in you that gives you the recognition of the right solution and the guarantee that it will be accomplished? Listen. Of yourself, you can do none of these. To believe that you can is but to put your trust where trust is unwarranted and to justify fear, anxiety, depression, anger, and sorrow. Who can put his faith in weakness and feel safe? Yet who can put his faith in strength and feel weak? Listen, God is your safety in every circumstance. His voice speaks for him in all situations and in every aspect of all situations, telling you exactly what to do to call upon his strength and his protection. There are no exceptions because God has no exceptions, and the voice which speaks for him thinks as he does. Today we'll try to reach past your own weakness to the source of real strength. 4 5-minute practice periods are necessary today, and longer and more frequent ones are urged. Keep saying to yourself, God is the strength in which I trust. Now try to slip past all concerns related to your own sense of inadequacy. It is obvious that any situation that causes you concern is associated with feelings of inadequacy, for otherwise you would believe that you could deal with the situation successfully. It is not by trusting yourself that you will gain confidence, but the strength of God in you is successful in all things. The recognition of your own frailty is a necessary step in the correction of your errors, but is hardly a sufficient one in giving you the confidence which you need and to which you're entitled. You must also gain an awareness that confidence in your real strength is fully justified in every respect and in all circumstances. You will recognize that you are depending on the strength of God when you begin to feel a sense of deep peace, even though it may not last. Let go all the trivial things that churn and bubble on the surface of your mind and reach down and below them to the kingdom of heaven. There is a place in you where there is perfect peace. There is a place in you where nothing is impossible. There is a place in you where the strength of God abides, and you're going to find it right now. Now we're going to move on because you found this strength in this moment of peace. And very quickly, lesson 48. Listen, there is nothing to fear. The idea for today simply states a fact. It is not a fact to those who believe in illusions, but illusions are not facts. In truth, there is nothing to fear. It is very easy to recognize this, but it is very difficult to recognize it for those who want illusions to be true. Today's practice period will be very short and very simple and very frequent. Merely repeat the idea as often as you can. There is nothing to fear. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. The awareness that there is nothing to fear shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in a place you recognize as yet, you have remembered God and let His strength take the place of your weakness. The instant you are willing to do this, there is indeed nothing to fear. And that's the holy instant of reality that we're sharing right here and right now. There's nothing to fear. Let's stay together just for a minute and take a look at what we've really accomplished now in this mind training. If you let me, I'm going to represent to you who I know that you are. I am sure in my illuminate mind, okay, that I share a direct contact with the universe. I am also sure that it's impossible, okay, if I have come to know this in my own mind, that you have also not come to know it. Remember, the time that separation from God lasted but a moment in your mind, with no effect on eternity at all, and that everything is exactly as it was, the same as it was, before we appeared to be trapped in this cycle of time that keeps leading us in a circle back to where we started. And you progress sufficiently in this mind training, perhaps, I hope so, to see that you begin to have an experience of a light in your own conceptual identity that shows you on a continuing basis an alternative to what you thought you were. Here you are out in the world, you're in the office, you're in the workplace, what did we say, you're in the mission, you're in the kitchen, and everything that you're doing corresponds to your conceptual identity of yourself, and it's not true. Everything that you're seeing and organizing is only in your own limitations of your own mind. Now, you've allowed sufficient light to come into your mind to see that available to you right here and right now is the complete alternative. Let's look together at it. This is the time and place that you have been looking for. It's important that you remember that the time itself is not sequential. That is, something that happened yesterday has nothing to do with what's going to happen tomorrow. And while this may seem simple in the idea of it, that is, the idea that the continuity of time is going on all the time, requires the practice of the admission that it is so. Because when you first began to come here with me, you were using the defenses of your old historic reference to condemn you to the body that you thought you're in. And now you're releasing it. And now that practice of the release of the defenses of you is showing you how we actually share the mind of God. And how certain you can be that together in the entirety of our memory patterns, we can actually remember coming here and leaving here. There's a lovely sequence in the text. I think I'm going to show it to you just for a moment. And since obviously you can't get old and die, That's the reality of it, because life is eternal. We express this as virtual reality. The idea that you're in a dream constructed by you, but not recognized as your construction, very simply because everything appears to be happening to you outside of the range of your self-identity, and you have forgotten that you're the dreamer of the dream. So that the concepts that you hold of yourself continue to justify the cycle where you come here, you keep repeating what appears to be happened, you apparently die, and you're back continually performing exactly the same operation until at last the moment arrives and is arriving now and has arrived where you say enough of this. Enough of the idea that my self-identity has forced me into conclusions that are not real and that are over and gone. This little clip will last not longer than 4 minutes, and I hope you'll watch it with me. Let's look together. This is from the text, chapter 27, The Healing of the Dream. Listen, how willing are you to escape effects of all the dreams the world has ever had? Is it your wish to let no dream appear to be the cause of what it is that you do? Then let us merely look upon the dream's beginning, for the part you see is but the second part, whose cause lies in the first. No one asleep and dreaming in the world, and I'm sure you're a part of it, remembers his attack upon himself. No one believes there really was a time when he knew nothing of a body and could never have conceived this world as real. He would have seen at once that these ideas are one illusion, too ridiculous for anything but to be laughed away. How serious they now appear to be, and no one can remember when they would have met with laughter and with disbelief. Listen, we can remember this if we but look directly at their cause, and we will see the grounds for laughter, not a cause for fear. In gentle laughter does the Holy Spirit perceive the cause and looks not to the effects. How else could he correct your error who have overlooked the cause entirely? He bids you bring each terrible effect to him that you may look together on its foolish cause and laugh with him a while. You judge effects, but he has judged their cause, and by his judgment are effects removed. Perhaps you came in tears, but hear him say, "My brother, holy son of God, behold your idle dream in which this could occur, and you will leave the holy instant with your laughter and with your brother's joined with his." Listen, the secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. No matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. Whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still is this the truth. Whatever seems to be the cause of any pain and suffering you feel, this is still true. For you could not react at all to figures in a dream. You knew that you were dreaming. Let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may, they could have no effect on you unless you fail to recognize that it is your dream and that you are doing this to yourself. This single lesson learned will set you free from suffering, whatever form it takes. The Holy Spirit will repeat this one inclusive lesson of deliverance until it has been learned, regardless of the form of suffering that brings you pain. Whatever hurt you bring to him, he will make answer with this very simple truth. For this one answer takes away the cause of every form of sorrow and of pain. The form affects his answer not at all, for he would teach you but the single cause of all of them, no matter what their form. And you will understand the miracle reflects the very simple statement, "I have done this thing, and it is this that I intend to undo." That's very dramatic, isn't it? It's dramatic in the sense that somewhere most of you have felt for a very long time that this is somehow a dream. Yet you search back into your own memories and you can't seem to find where the solution is. Okay, the simple truth of the matter is that the solution is not in the dream as you are dreaming it. And that all of the contest that's going on in reciprocity of an eye for an eye is nothing but forgetting that you are actually only attacking yourself. And based on this time and place, you have every right to be attacking yourself. But you're going to have to remember this with my mind. If you attack yourself, you are literally attacking the source of all reality. Okay, since you are the mind of God thinking. And as absurd as that seems to me, as long as you remain in the restriction of your own mind, you will justify the correspondence of your body based on these weird characters that you call human beings that you need to identify either in love, okay, or in fear in the rejection of them in the association of who you think you are. You might as well hear this. At the time of the schism, at the time of the apparent separation, immediately was made available to you a signal, okay, that showed you how you returned to reality. Okay, now, granted, that signal perhaps was misplaced momentarily, and if you want me to, I'll accept responsibility for the mistake. But you're going to have to forgive me. Remember the practice of forgiving me for the guilt that we share in actually believing that this expedition into time failed? It only failed for the moment that that communication with reality was broken. And at no time ever in all of the universe, instantly, in what we call quantum reality, does the voice of God not speak to you. Because every time you speak and identify yourself in an apparent correspondence, it contains everything that there is in the universe. Can you see this with me? All power is given unto you in heaven and earth. This is a representation of our Savior Jesus, who said, I'm going to represent you as my whole self until you see that we share a single self, and that the God who is speaking to us in whatever language, in whatever drama, in whatever demonstration of our correspondence cannot not show us our own perfection in the admission that this temporal identity lasted but a moment in our own minds. What a joyous occasion here, huh? So if it's possible for you now, through this practice, to begin to hear the voice of God, surprising to the conceptual ones who want to know how you're hearing it, in what manner you're hearing it, why you're hearing it, how does it correspond to this world, your answer is simply, it doesn't. Okay, I am employing the power of God given to me by the Holy Spirit that allows me momentarily to disassociate from the fear and pain and death that previously demonstrated who I was. And in that recognition, as I walk around with you now in this world, I'm going to be sustained. Okay, the sustenance of my thought forms are going to be the energy of the holy instant of light that demonstrated to me my reality, which cannot not be your reality. Look at me, okay? I am certain that as I view you, you cannot not be a part of my whole mind. Okay, if you'll stop in your own conceptual mind trying to figure out, okay, what it is you would like to have me be, you will see instantly and hear instantly and share with me instantly the voice of God that will sustain you from this moment on, okay, in the very, very short cycle of time that remains to you now. Let's watch these last two lessons, 49 and 50, okay, of this workbook of A Course in Miracles. Watch. Let's take a look at what we've been talking about now. Lesson 49 says, God's voice speaks to me all through the day. It is quite possible to listen to God's voice all through the day without interrupting your regular activities in any way. The part of your mind in which truth abides is in constant communication with God, whether you are aware of it or not. It is the other part of your mind that functions in the world and obeys the world's laws. It is this part that is constantly distracted, disorganized, and highly uncertain. The part of your mind that is listening to the voice of God is calm, always at rest, and wholly certain. It is really the only part that there is. The other part is a wild illusion, frantic and distraught, but without reality of any kind. Try today not to listen to it. Try to identify with a part of your mind where stillness and peace reign forever. Try to hear God's voice call to you lovingly, reminding you that your Creator has not forgotten His Son. We will approach this happiest and holiest of thoughts with confidence, knowing that in doing so, we are joining our will with the will of God. He wants you to hear His voice. He gave it to you to be heard. Listen in deep silence. Be very still and open your mind. Go past all the raucous shrieks and sick imaginings that cover your real thoughts and obscure your eternal link with God. Sink deep into the peace that waits for you beyond the frantic, riotous thoughts and sights and sounds of this crazy world. You do not live here. We are trying to reach your real home. We are trying to reach the place where you are truly welcome. We are trying to reach God. And we see now that He is available to us together in our love, right here and right now. And we realize in Lesson 50 that we are sustained by the love of God. Here is the answer to every problem that will confront you today and tomorrow and throughout time. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing all the right people, and the endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. All of these things are your replacements for the love of God. All these things are cherished to ensure a body identity. They are songs of praise to the ego. Do not put your faith in the worthless. It will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. It will lift you out of every trial and raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. Listen, it will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of the Son of God. Put not your faith in illusions. They will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you, eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. It is a declaration of release from the belief in idols. It is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. Repeat it often, won't you, today, then, in the realization that this mind training has brought you to a point where you realize that you are being sustained by God and by the love that He shares with you. Repeat it think about it, let related thoughts come to help you recognize its truth, and allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb the holy mind of the Son of God. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the resting place where your Father has placed you forever. Talk about advanced teachers. You should see the, this is Power for Living, incidentally. It's a fine book put out by the Christian community that demonstrates, you know how I love the Christian healers, those that use the power of their mind through the love to sustain themselves. And these are being mailed out by the millions, and you remember that Power for Living, the certainty of John 1, in the Bible, that just for a moment you are in the dark form and that the light goes with you wherever you go, is exactly the lesson that you just saw that says, I am sustained by the love of God. So here we are then together at the end of the first 50 days. And perhaps you're saying to me, I didn't take 50 days. This is the first time I've ever seen you. And, of course, my response to you would have to be, this is the only time you would ever have to see me. All I could possibly tell you in this organization of chaotic, dark form, that the solution is in you. You listen to me now, because I want you to see what's happened to you. The new insight, the light that you are beginning to gain within your own mind is, in a literal sense, waking you up from your dream of death. It's the second part of the illusion that somehow you, in your own mind, could have been separated from the reality of the love of God. And the happiness that's being expressed, and we're getting correspondence from all over the world, where individually, and I'm talking directly to you, you suddenly have been practicing. In the middle of the night, you go, oh, I heard it, I felt it, there was a light, this is what they meant. And obviously, until you have the experience, you couldn't possibly know it. All right, your descriptions of revelation are not what revelation is. Your description of the process of coming to know who you are is not what coming to know who you is. I continue to get letters of someone who says that I compare very favorably to the third patriarch of Zen. I have no idea who the third patriarch of Zen is, or Ramana Maharshi. All they could possibly be showing you is a restriction that you have placed on your own self in refusal to admit that what I am offering you is your own constructional reality in yourself. It's not in me, it's in you. Now, if you want to compare the manner in which I provide you with the alternative, well and good. But you're going to have to remember this. You are the cause of the problem in your conceptual self. Okay? You are doing this to yourself. Okay? What is the secret to salvation? That you're doing this to yourself. No matter how tempted you were to believe that there's something outside of you that could be attacking you, the very simple truth of the matter, remember what you just saw on the video? You were the cause of this. And you're looking right at it, and you're saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm sick and tired of having to identify myself when I know that I'm more with this pitiful example of a dark form tucked away somewhere back among a billion trillion stars with no possibility of ever escaping from this confinement in space-time, because I'm locked in this idea of, what do we call it, hydrogen and oxygen and carbon and this solid body that we appear to occupy. Now you're with me, and I'm telling you it's not true. Not only am I telling you it's not true, I'm telling you it never was true. Okay, I'm offering you the solution in the entirety of your mind with the certainty that this is indeed the solution that we discovered. It's impossible that if you are representing yourself as a species, as a human being, with an idea of eternal life that caused you to invent time, that the entirety of the solution is not available to you. Time, the idea of continuity, is an invention of the separate mind, the mind that believes that it is separate from total reality, then lives within the illusion of communication in separation, and it's not possible. Okay? In that sense, you replicate eternity within time. Okay, the point that you are at within your own evolution of reality, you're returning from the dark form up to the remembering that this never happened, is at the point where the transition must occur, because you're searching for it within the temporal association using the power of the signal that you brought with you when you came into this world. And that signal is with us right now. And we're going to express it together. The joy that you're feeling, and there's a sentence where our Master Jesus says, now that you've identified with me, you take your place as the Savior. What does he say in the New Testament? Greater things will you do than I have done. Because everything that now comes into your mind, you reassociate in the love and forgiveness of our recognition that we indeed did come from this common source, and that we were locked just for a moment in time. That was a divine burp. I'll take this out of the way. I went like that. Did you see that? See? The constitution of grace that you have become in your light body. And Jesus wanted me to mention this. Remember that all of the direction that I'm giving you in regard to your body participation in the conversion of your own cellular relationship are actually what healing is. And as you look at me now, and remember, I put on the other video, you think I'm some sort of old guy who came here and began to practice forgiveness. And I'll admit that that's true. And I'll admit that progress can be made in this because of the experiences that I am offering you in regard to my own. Does it do me any good to tell you that my first forgiveness experience was at the atomic bomb area in Nagasaki? I don't know. I know that I began to look around at that time at the chaos that was being demonstrated in this world, and saw there did not appear to be a solution, and that no matter how successful I apparently was at my determination to overcome the obstacles that represented war and to offer peace, it didn't work. I had to accept an alternative that was not within my own concepts and undergo the experience that I'm offering you. Okay, now, my experience has nothing at all to do with you except in the single realization that we shared the single problem, and that through the forgiveness, through the act of discovering the power of our minds, we realize that we are single and whole. I could not be here now except that I offer you the solution that I discovered in my own drama. I do not want you to attempt to identify the manner in which I came to know this. We have one problem that we share together, and that's our conceptual self-identities that have separated us from the certainty that we are whole and loving as God created us. So this practice has been for you to look within your own mind and for me to offer you the certainty that it is in your own mind, that nothing was outside of you. And I'm glad that's making you so joyous. So when you review your own inventory of conceptual thoughts, you say, no, no. This practice has allowed me to see the light of heaven that's all around me. So these were the first 50 lessons. And what did we say? Well, I just saw you for today. And my answer is, you've been practicing this for a long time. Okay. There's a lovely lesson in the Course where Jesus says, time is a sleight of hand. What seems to be going on is actually all over and gone. What I have shown you in this Course in Miracles is that you can't choose the curriculum of what you want to learn because it's all contained within your own mind. But you can decide the time when you want to leave this place. And that the time you decide it will be the time that you did decide it. And actually, it will have nothing to do with all the reasons you thought that you were here at all. You're going to leave here with me, okay, right here and now. Do you know why? It's time. You want to say that to me? It's time. Right here and right now. We've decided, okay, to complete the process of awakening from this dream. We're going home. We've wandered around long enough in this dense, dead form and allowed idols to attack us and worship ideas in our minds that we could have been separate from God. Enough is enough. The salvage ship has arrived, although it's way off the course of where it generally goes. Okay, it stopped by here right now, and it's available to you in this cycle of time. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Okay, your alternative that has now been called to your attention is to simply occupy that body and get old and get sick and die once again. Yet you can't escape time by dying, because there isn't any such thing as death. Okay? You have been depending on death. Remember the other video? You've been depending on death to escape the consequences of your own guilt, of what you thought you were, and it won't work. So let's invite that happening to be right now and watch our fear disappear as we enter together into the kingdom. Thank you for your tolerance of these lessons in forgiveness that have shown you that through the love that we share with God, which is actually the love that we share with each other, isn't it? I looked at all of the commandments of reciprocity that set terms that you must have relationships within this world, and that's well and good. The solution offered by my Savior and the one that I teach to you is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself, your enemy as yourself, because your neighbor and your enemy are who you are. And now the self-forgiveness that you have discovered is showing you the joy of eternal happiness that we share. Perhaps we'll see you again. Certainly we'll see you on the other side of the veil. This continuum of time, through your advocacy of alternative, has reached a pitch in light, okay, where it is reorganized at the point of departure. And you will be leaving this time and place. And you will be leaving right now. The brightness of your individual minds that you are demonstrating in this aggregation, okay, are passionately amazing. You have released yourself from the bondage of your own self-identity. The experience that you're sharing with me now was the one that you've always been looking for. And at last you found it. And it's here and now. And I'm glad we're here together. So 50 lessons, 50 days, or 50 years, or 50,000 years, or 50 minutes, okay, or 50 seconds, or 50 nanoseconds, who cares? It was always over and gone anyway. Now is the solution with you and available. Thank you for your understanding of my need to teach this. This new revelations that have come into your mind, you cannot not begin to express the new discovery of who you are. We'll be happy to share that with you in this short time that is left. So I'll be seeing you soon. Okay. Remember that God is the mind that you think, that God goes with you wherever you go, and that the sustenance of your reality is the love of God. I'll see you in just one more moment.